Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle here talking some Penn State football. We're coming at you from the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Pronounced perfectly that time.
Could not think of a better way to start this week's show.
We're looking back. Penn State wrapping up the non-conference schedule this past weekend with a big-time win over Kent State. And a lot of freshmen got involved there. So we'll look back on that game, kind of what mattered the most, what stood out the most. You know, what did you see from the freshmen? We'll also look back at a pretty brutal weekend across the Big Ten and just some of the sticking points there and just big picture where the Big Ten stands right now. I know it's only 3 weeks into the season, but what conclusions can we start to draw about the disappointment so far early in the season?
I have a feeling that a certain somebody in a certain Midwest city is going to catch your anger this week.
I have a feeling a certain somebody who just spoke into a certain microphone might be right. Let's talk about Kent State, first of all. Penn State 3-0 now, 63-10 over Kent State. Really in command most of the time. And you saw what looked like it was going to be some difficulty on paper start to play out in the early going there. But Penn State was never threatened. And I thought that late score in the first half really put the game to bed. Big day for the offense. Big day for Trace McSorley in this one. A lot of run for true freshmen. It looked like, you know, there was a good solid 15 minutes or so that was scrimmage time. And Penn State under James Franklin, maybe he wasn't willing to concede scrimmage time too much. But this one had a lot of good opportunities and they were committed to getting guys on the field. Why don't you just big picture me, you know, a lot of points scored, a lot of guys got to play. What did you see from this game? What did you take away from it?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. I think number one, we saw James Franklin get his backups in early, and that's really not what he typically does, as we've seen against Pitt last week, as we saw a couple of times last season. A blowout is not necessarily equivalent to a chance to get the young guys in, but in this particular case, with a short week, with a trip to Friday night trip to Illinois, they had to make sure those guys were healthy and make sure that they limited their reps. They were able to do that successfully and get a lot of young guys meaningful snaps. I mean, this was a program-building game. I mean, you don't get a preseason, but this was as close to a preseason kind of game as I think you could possibly get in the regular season. Kent State just didn't have much going for it. And, at the end of the day, that this was just one of those games where Penn State had some things to learn from. The penalties that took touchdowns off the board were particularly concerning. Trace McSorley's interception, the result of yet another dropped pass, and there was more of that to go around in this one. But other than that, it's really tough to nitpick and see and find, you know, big problems for Penn State. It's just ultimately they were able to not only get out of there healthy, but also get a lot of guys reps. And when you're able to do that, I think James Franklin said it best, you create a healthy locker room, and that's always a plus.
So I think the benchmark that people are looking for Penn State to clear is, are they closer to playing with or beating Ohio State than they were before week one? I think you can probably say yes. What do you think?
I'm kind of 50-50 on
it. It's hard to evaluate.
I mean, yeah, it is. And compared to what Ohio State did against TCU, there's a couple of things that concern me. Number one, you're not going to get away with taking. I know that Penn State, I think on two of the three times that they took a touchdown off the board, they went back and got another one. But against better teams, you're not going to have that luxury most of the time. And the same thing goes with the drop passes. You know, you drop a pass against Kent State. Oh, well, you bring the defense out. You know, the pass rush gets to Woody Barrett three times, and then they punt, and you get to go do it again. But against Ohio State, you're just not going to do that. That Buckeyes team is firing on all cylinders. But I think that, you know, there were some points being made during the game by some folks on social media that said Penn State's defense might be up for the task and up for the challenge of be able to do what TCU did for three quarters, or more like two and a half, I guess, for four. And I think there's some truth to that. So are they closer to playing with them? Yeah, I guess they are. But are they any closer to beating them? I think it's still hard to say.
Yeah, I think breaking down that matchup is a conversation for another day, maybe this time next week. But yeah, I felt the same way that Ohio State is just – that's a tough cookie to crack. We'll see. Defensively, I thought in this one, keeping that rushing attack, which that's what they want to do, and keeping Woody Barrett really under control for four quarters, well, three and change, I guess. I thought there was something to build off of from that, because you know he's so big and he's not a bad player, and they really pride themselves on the run game, and what they held him to 41 rushing yards. Mm-hmm. So I thought defensively this was by far the most encouraging performance of the year.
Oh, no question. And I think the missed tackles were probably less in this game. I mean, the jumping off sides early was a concern, but other than that, I think maybe the biggest thing about this defense is that John Reed has been absent for pretty much what, 9 of 12 quarters this year?
Yeah.
And they haven't missed him at all, which is
Castor
really...
Fields is really good. I also thought in this one that Donovan Johnson and Zach McPherson are on the field, and they look like starting caliber players. I understand the level of competition, but I felt like that was one of the big underrated things to take away is how deep Penn State showed, again, that it's a cornerback.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Zach McPherson would probably be, you know, he probably would have been in line to get Tariq Castro field snaps at the start of the season at another program, but Donovan Johnson has seemingly jumped over him, but Zach McPherson's not a bad player. It's just, it has to be weird to be a veteran on this Penn State team in some ways, because they're recruiting so well that it doesn't take much for you to get jumped over, and that's a good thing, and we saw why on Saturday, because Penn State's defense is, you know, since we're on that topic, its defense did not give up any points when the starters came out, and the offense kept going when, you know, I just think that Penn State's defense, just to finish that thought, it did take a step forward in this one. It got a lot of reps. Still a little bit concerned about the linebackers, still a little bit concerned about the pass rush, but we'll find out again in 2 weeks whether that's something that still needs to be a concern or not.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. And for the best single game RV value in Happy Valley, you have to check out GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs that you can rent for individual games. There's a free shuttle to the game, large projection TV there, free Wi-Fi. Well, that's something we never mentioned before. That's a huge talking point. Free Wi-Fi. You can enjoy tailgating with 409 barbecue and wine, along with Shotzi's Jumbo Brats, Labatt Beer. You can go to PSURV.com for all the details. There are still a couple RVs remaining for the Ohio State game. Check in with GoPSURV.com for all the details there. One of the big talking points that came out of this game, Greg, was the idea of team speed. Yeah. And I think this was another example of how far Penn State has come in that quest. Each year, I think you've seen it ramp up a good bit. And so now I think this is the fastest Penn State's team has been in a long, long time. And I think that goes back several coaches talking about team speed and how they use it. It's an actual weapon now, and I just wonder just your early thoughts on how you think that applies to Big Ten play, especially top of the line Big Ten play.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that we've seen, I think, over the James Franklin's tenure, is that this team has just gotten a little bit faster, a little bit faster, a little bit faster. And Dwight Gaunt, going all the way back to June, made note that this was the fastest team that Penn State's had since he's been here, and it was its fastest linebackers, and you see that over and over and over again. I mean, they close on the ball very well. They're able to make plays on offense and in the return game simply because they're faster than the opponent, and that won't always be the case. I know that Penn State didn't exactly play a murderer's row in non-conference play, but at some point, you know, you get into a situation where the guys that you're trying to outrun are going to be, you know, not maybe Kent State guys, but they're, you know, the Ohio State, the Michigan's, the Michigan State, their guys going to be a little bit faster, but clearly Penn State is right up for the challenge in that area as well.
I think that just helps, you know, when you talk about Ohio State, the number of things that Penn State had to do well, all the little things when they upset them a couple years ago, it just adds to your margin of error a little bit when you can, when you have more guys who can run with Ohio State's guys. And that's where I think it comes in. KJ Hamler obviously is the highest name on that list just because of what he's done on the field through 3 weeks. Another good game for him, kick return and punt return too. I think this is one of the things that Penn State, I don't know if you can say they have an edge. I'm not that familiar with Ohio State special teams, for example, but they're at least as good. They have a legitimate weapon in the return game now. And I think, again, could you have said that in any of the previous years?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, the one thing I always get when you say make a statement like that is somebody will say Saquon Barkley. And it's like, well, yeah, that's true. But in terms of even a legitimate returner and not just an awesome running back who was made a returner because they needed him to be,
yeah.
Penn State hasn't had one, a guy like KJ Hamler or DeAndre Tompkins in a long time. And, you know, I shared a thought that I thought maybe Hamler would be the full-time punt returner moving forward, and some people didn't agree with that at all. But you see the ways that, and don't get me wrong, DeAndre Tompkins is a great punt returner, but Hamler, I think, just has a little bit of an extra gear that when he sees something and a hole's there, he hits it and he just goes. And boy, I'll tell you what, it is fun to watch him no matter whether he's running deep routes. And by the way, I think Penn State could have had probably five or six more touch. He was just running by the corner and then the safety and was just wide open down the field almost every single play that he was out there against Kent State. Now, he won't do that against everybody, but he's a legitimate deep threat as well.
And he's going to be a problem, and I think that problem shows up, and this is where James Franklin's prioritizing speed comes in play, is that even if you're – before the snap, you're putting a strain on the other team's defense because they have to think about and worry about being stretched long. It's putting a strain on the defensive coordinator, and it's something that Penn State finally has. And Hamler, he can beat you in all kinds of ways. And you see with his footwork, what was it coming out of that Appalachian State game? Penn State football shared a video on their Twitter of him just shaking a guy out of his shoes. There's no covering that. So Penn State finally has it now. I'll be interested to see. I think that DeAndre Tompkins shouldn't lose his punt return job, but any opportunity to get the ball in KJ Hamler's hands in space is the right way to go. I thought, by the way, KJ Hamler, I think Kent State respected him so much. I'm pretty sure at the end of the first half, they kicked it out of bounds on purpose.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And then Penn State declined it. And see, I'm dumb enough to be, oh, I can't believe Penn State's not taking it at the 40. Well, the whole idea, which of course dumb me realized in hindsight, was, yeah, because they're going to, you can kick it out of bounds again. Now, the question I have is, if you're Kent State, why aren't you just kicking it a pop up or squib? Or why in the world are you kicking it to him? Penn State declined your penalty to get you to do exactly that's exactly what Penn State wanted. And Kent State said, okay, sure. They played right into it.
I think maybe it's easier said than done, but it just seems like in a situation where you're outmatched, or you really, really want to keep it out of his hands, you basically turn it into a punt that lands at the 20 and have your guys surrounding him. I've never kicked a ball like that, so maybe it's easier said than done. But so, yeah, James Franklin turns it down. I saw, and it's fair to wonder, but to give him an opportunity is something that ended up paying off. He takes it 52 yards. They score that touchdown. It goes from 21-10 to 28-10. And like I said before, I think it was lights out on Kent State after that.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they had any hope at that point. I mean, I don't know if they had any hope to begin with, but it was all gone at that point.
Any kind of, to make it to turn it from a two possession to a big three possession game was important. So we got more to talk about when it comes to Kent State. We're going to take a quick break. We'll talk more about the wide receivers and some of the other pieces of the game, including the defense, coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.